Krishan, I've got a question here from a month ago. Oops. By Sri Gokula. Just need to try and get it out. Yes, and she was saying that I read in the Manushriksha, now I'm translating from Hungarian, that it's important that we read from a hear from a pure source. Because a material sound vibration will plant an unfavorable seed within our heart. And in the December podcast, I mentioned that it's not even, one shouldn't even be indifferent, or it's not even the same who leads kirtan, and because the motivation of the chanter comes into play. On the other hand, we often hear that we use karmi books for and presentations which talk about success and management and other things like that because we want to better our service and our spiritual life. So from my point of view, this is a contradiction. It's a good topic, interesting topic, one that stems off into other directions. On one side, devotees who are proponents of going into studying other books for different purposes, maybe on management, maybe on leadership, principles of leadership, maybe on how best to organize a non-profit organization, maybe on protecting the society and learning what other churches or institutions have learned from child abuse and putting in place the things that will actually help avoid that, deal with it, how to practice mediation when there's conflict arises between devotees, devotees and management, different parts of management. And these things are valuable. And the principle there that is being espoused is that a devotee can take gold from a dirty place. And I agree with that. The other side, which we always also have to keep in mind, is Srila Prabhupada also said, catch the big fish, but don't get wet. So yes, take the gold from the dirty place, but don't get dirty. And take out the gold, take out the essence. And that requires a certain type of balance that you can't replace with anything else. You can't replace ghee with water. You have to, when you're cooking, you have to cook with ghee. So you need to have intelligence in order to be able to discriminate between taking something and actually becoming wet or becoming dirty, becoming influenced by what you're taking. There is certainly a wealth of knowledge out there in the material world, which people have come to through experience by empirical knowledge, which can be used in Krishna consciousness, and which is not necessarily wrong. On the other hand, this consulting of non-Vedic or non-Prabhupada literature came in after Srila Prabhupada's departure. During Srila Prabhupada's time, with the rare exception, there wasn't much of this practice at all. Neither did Srila Prabhupada encourage it, in fact, to the opposite. He discouraged it. If devotees would ask him about such things, generally he would say, go to my books and you'll find everything in my books. Srila Prabhupada would tell us, Bhagavad Gita has everything, Srimad Bhagavatam has everything, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And generally, if we actually look for these subjects and are willing to do the research and study that it requires to glean these topics out, we can find, if not a very detailed, but a broad description of these things in Srila Prabhupada's books. For instance, I say very detailed, because if you go in what does Prabhupada's books say about child protection, I don't think you'll find a very detailed step-by-step a mechanism for how to avoid it, deal with it, report it, and deal with perpetrators and victims, but you'll certainly find certainly guidelines and principles. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada did give a certain leeway to some sections of his society for delving into non-devotional literature, such as for Bhaktivedanta Institute. He expected his scientists to know the arguments of the opposition, to know the arguments of scientists, which meant that they had to get their PhDs. I was there when Srila Prabhupada encouraged Rabindra Subprabhu to finish his PhD, to go to university, which meant reading all kinds of other books in order to know what is the arguments of the enemy. Srila Maharaj told me that in Mumbai, Prabhupada had told devotees that in the library they have all kinds of books, including even Shankaracharya's books. Although on one side, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Bhashapaya Shorbanash, that if you read Mayavad philosophy, your spiritual life is over. But here Srila Prabhupada said, yes, but if you can read Mayavad philosophy and not be influenced in order to know what to defeat, then it's all right to have those books and for some people to read them, not necessarily for everybody. So, of course, that's a question of who is actually reading these things. And then later on, as the movement progressed, then we saw that we were making very common mistakes that are made by non-profit organizations, religious organizations. Our leadership was really not inspiring the support, now not just of our devotee followers, but even our devotee supporters, our congregation, who wanted transparency and accounting, particular leadership principles that have been really worked out, and therefore there are things like Kavi courses and daytimers started to come in, and we started to keep our organize our time. And these things are helpful. But as I mentioned earlier, the balance has to be there, so you can't get dirty, you can't get wet. And there's at present a whole committee being set up on the question of hermeneutics and epistemology. Is what is it? How do we see Vedic teachings, particularly Srila Prabhupada's teachings, in perspective to what empiricists of all different convictions and different sciences and arts say on different topics? Because when they come in conflict with what Srila Prabhupada says, when they come in conflict with Vedic teachings, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then at that point, my humble opinion is, and those which we say are the conservative section of our society, then at that point we stop. We don't take it any further. We don't want to qualify Srila Prabhupada's teachings by any type of modern ideologies. And whereas this is actually another topic, and a very detailed, lengthy topic, and one that probably I wouldn't be even qualified at this time to give complete answers on detailed questions. It would require consultation with Vaishnavas and research and so on. But the principle there is that, yes, we should not get wet. We should not lose our faith in Srila Prabhupada. We should not decrease our faith in Srila Prabhupada and his teachings and the principles of Krishna consciousness. We should not compromise our faith in the process of devotional service or chanting Hare Krishna. So there has to be a limit to the quantity of things that we import, to the quality of things that we import. It has to be done very carefully. It shouldn't be done arbitrarily. As individuals, devotees need to be able to judge and watch what type of effect these type of teachings have on their heart. And so it should be done with consultation, under guidance, and with great care, so that we don't get wet. Otherwise, it will be a contradiction. If we really are taking gold, and if we're really improving Krishna consciousness movement and our own society, then fine, do that. But it should be done with great care. But if we're actually getting dirty, and if we're contaminating ourselves, contaminating others, and influencing our devotees, devotee community, with materialistic ideas, then we should not do that. So it has to be done with great care. Now if I, for instance, go back to the one of the examples that I gave, which was of mediation. We have set up, actually, we have our own arbitration, mediation system within ISKCON, called ISKCON Resolve, which serves a very important function, and that function of resolving conflict within the society. The mechanics of how to do this have been long worked out in the outside world, and they can be to advantage put to use within the society. I think that this is a good example of something which, where you're taking the gold, you're not getting dirty, and it actually really affords real benefit to ISKCON. On the other hand, a recent article, for instance, which I saw, where spoken by a Vaishnav, where it was recommended that Srila Prabhupada's stand on homosexuality was time-dated, and that actually, were he here at the present time, he would promote a monogamous homosexual relationship, I think is stepping over the line and bringing in something that is not only speculative, but contrary to the basic principles that Srila Prabhupada taught. So one has to be careful. And in anything that we do, just as when we go out on Sankirtan, meet non-devotees, interact, mix with them, we have to be very careful. The tendency will be there to get entangled. Just recently I was dealing with one devotee who met a karmi on Sankirtan, developed a relationship, emotional relationship with them, and so left full-time service and is associating with that person. We're trying to take gold from a dirty place. There are risks even going out and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books if one is not careful in terms of one's sadhana and spiritually strong. Anyway, enough said. We can continue tomorrow. I think that's given a response to Sri Gokula's question. Hare Krishna.